everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Yeah, I'm very well, Alan. Obviously, in the studio, it's back to Udi season. But got the Udi on, got my Ugg boots on, feeling ready to go.
Yeah, it's freezing, and I hate it. Beanie's back on at work. It sucks, man. It's cold. I don't like being cold.
Yeah, it's definitely got cold. What's news with you this week?
Not too much. I went and saw the myotherapist today, which I normally do about once a month, but I forgot to book in, and he books in like in a month in advance. This dude's hectic. Anyway, long story short, it's been a little over 2 months, and today was brutal. So he is a brute of a man, just an absolute gorilla, and he gets hard into there. He does the dry needling, and he's just so fast and so strong that he gets through so much in an hour.
Yep.
And I can barely walk. But I'll be fantastic tomorrow and even better on the weekend. How about you?
Not much. Obviously, school holidays are coming to a close, so just trying to cash in there as best I can. And I'm pretty pumped. As soon as we're done recording here, I'll go check out the third episode of Alone Season 2.
Oh, nice. I don't think I've even seen Alone Season 1. So.
You got to get it.
What's that about?
Good. You've read this correctly. Good question. For any listeners out there that are not familiar with Alone, get around it. This is Alone Australia that I'm talking about. But Alone is, I don't know, forgive me if I've said this on the pod before, but it's Bear Grylls but real. It's just a bunch of people off in the wilderness. They just got to survive by themselves. Whoever lasts the longest takes home $500,000. It's been going on for a while over in America, like 8 or 9 seasons, but Australia picked it up last year and did season 1 down in Tassie, and they've just released season 2, which they're down in the south, in the just absolute remoteness of the South Island, and it's looking like it's going to be a 6th season, so pumped to watch a bit of that after this.
Cool, sounds good. Might have to check
it out.
That's a good show. One thing I'm right in the middle of checking out is the ratings. So we've had a ratings update, and I've got the Vic Open page up just to check, you know, how some of these notables are looking, what's jumping out at me, and I'm seeing 2,000 rated players in the NPO.
Yeah, comfortably.
So Dave Perry has moved his way up to 1,004.
By 5, big jump. I've reached out to I forgot what we called Aiden stats.
It was good too.
Aidwin. I've reached out to.
Oh, yeah. Aidwin stats.
To see if he's updated his spreadsheet yet. We might have to bring that out next episode. He hasn't quite finished updating, but I'm curious to see how it looks. But Mr. Aidwin himself now finds himself in the top 20 in Australia.
Yeah, nice. Very nice. Yeah, it's very healthy at the moment, this field. I'm looking just at the Vic Open page. I don't have the top 20 in Australia thing up, but of the 30 people that are in NPO, there are 17 players that are 950 and above, including yourself, who's taken a nice jump into the 950 club.
Yes.
Once again, which is very nice, back where you belong. Yes. But that's a lot.
It is a lot.
Normally these NPO fields are pretty thin down the bottom, and it's not so much anymore. There's still a few in the 920s and 30s and stuff, but that's still decent disc golf. There's no real slouches, I don't think. And just so many 950 plus players. Like, it's wild.
I can tell you right now, there's no real slouches, because one of those down the bottom is a young Ryan Michel, and he ain't no slouch on Invali Gold.
No, he's going to do very well.
Yeah.
One name that I'm seeing jump out at me with pretty high up on my list here is G-Trait, Gareth Morgan, 963. He's in the 960 club now. He's bumped ahead of Marcus. He's ahead of Aiden. And he's right hot on the heels of Timmy Bohan.
Yeah, Nah, that's a big boy club. Timmy went up again though. But yet, and at 960s, that's a dream for me. Looking at the top 20 list, there's a player in here above Paddy Robinson, above Dan Frost, equal with Chris Hill. And I'm just a little bit surprised to see his name here. Any guesses?
Well, I know there's a very high 970 player that I haven't seen play disc golf in forever. So is that the Lions we're talking about?
Potentially.
Or not?
Yeah, potentially.
I haven't looked this time, but I know every other time I've looked recently, Abra is up there.
It's not Abra.
Is that him?
No, it's not Abra.
Okay, well then, no, I'm not sure. I can't think of any like sneaky 979.
Mr. Aaron Moreton.
Oh, yeah. No, true. That's true.
He's had a...
Yeah, the man can sling. Yeah. He doesn't play a lot of events, but he plays well.
He's played three events this year, a fourth, a first, and a first up in Queensland. And yeah, he's in the 979 club. That's just a touch off 980. It just doesn't strike me as a 980 golfer sometimes, but he can play.
Yeah, well, you don't get on Team Australia by accident.
No, apparently not. I should
they
know.
Know what they're doing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nah, he can sling. I forgot about it because he just doesn't travel as much as some of these other names. So a lot of the names that we are very familiar with just popping up to all the tourneys in the in that sort of 979-80 club.
Yeah.
Myself, I took another little bump up. I had a little dip down before and I'm a little bump back up. So into the 920s again, which is it's pretty exciting territory for me, I must admit.
Where you belong.
How many years was I talking about how I'd never break the 900? It's a long time. And hopefully I can stay firmly entrenched in that. Once I hit that 900 mark, I haven't dropped below it. So I'm hoping now that I can sort of, the 920 is the new standard. I can just keep above that and slowly build. And one day I might be able to play with you.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I welcome that. Please do.
Yeah. Anyone else, any notables that you've seen?
The PDJ has changed its website around, and the way that I used to look at this, I used to look at it in a top 25 situation, but now I can only look at it in a top 20 situation. But what I've also noticed is I can sort it by cash. And what I can share with you is that Dylan Feldman's already taken home $1,000 this year.
Really? Yeah.
1,000
from what? Sizzler.
Yeah. I must be New
Zealand. Oh yeah, of course.
Jade Brady's taken 919 US home this year, and Dave Perry's taken home 750 US this year.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jade won Sizzler. What did Dave get up to? He was at Sizzler. I think he was second or something.
Yeah, it must have been that.
Where else did he head to get the extra money?
Let's have a quick look.
What am I missing?
A couple. Golden City Classic. He obviously took it down. Simply coming 10th at the New Zealand Champs also netted him a bit of cash.
Oh, yeah, he was there too. Yeah, of course he finished top 10. Yeah, all right. Well, very nice, Dave. Look at the boys making money. How much cash you got this year, Chris?
It's like $5. but I tell you...
Taking down the Alinda event was big.
Yeah, it must have been huge. Got a good stat for you, actually. I'm looking at the top 20 cash makers in Australia right now, right? Sarah Lee finds herself on the list.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very nice.
Just right there in 20th.
There you go.
Right there in 20th with her 216 US. So well done, Sarah.
Nice. All right. Let's move on to the Werribee social day that we had on the weekend. Not the biggest turnout, 21 people, but some good scores led by Thrower's own Taron Anderson with a neg 8 just out of nowhere. Clean round, 8 birdies, and yeah, just too strong for Sam Stoyer, who's a bit of a killer in Werribee, who was neg 7, and Tim Stevenson with a fantastic 6-down round with a bogey.
Yeah, well done, Tim. That's definitely got to be one of his better rounds. I expected him to find him a bit higher on the handicap board, but I didn't. Yeah, Mark Hardy slides in there as well. Mike and Penn, a few back from that. But yeah, Taron Anderson, it's not his first win. Not his first win. At a league day for Melbourne, obviously. But I think it's his first for the year, surely.
Yeah, it could be. I don't remember seeing the others, but yeah, very nice. More than I got this year, I think.
More than I've got this year.
Oh, no, actually, I think I might have had one sneaky one when no one else showed up. Melton,
yeah,
that's
you
it.
Got
yeah,
Melton.
There we
yeah.
go. Tied with Aaron, so beautiful.
It's more than me. I can't even find my name on the leaderboard. I don't even know if I've been. Oh, yeah, I went to the first one. That's it. I'm going to go this week, though. I'm going to go to another league day. It's been a while.
I think I might as well. I've got work drinks on the Friday night. I might just crash it. Mum and Dad's because it's near that, and it won't be the 8 a.m. session, I can tell you that, but I might find myself at the 10:30 one.
Good work.
Speaking of the old man, neg two, not a bad round for him. Bit of a lean back nine, but yeah, finds himself there in seventh place, so doing all right.
Beautiful.
And who do we have? Carlton Clerk taking out their handicap.
I feel like at a podcast recently you said you never even met this bloke. And
Really?
You said like, all right, that's right. You was at the Skins and you were like, I'm pretty sure he's never even been. And here he is taking out the handicap victory.
He's up and about.
Yeah, he is.
Just ahead of Gren Ralston and John Baker.
Yeah.
So, not too bad. Any disappointments you're seeing in there? Nothing too crazy.
If you look at the handicap, it doesn't look good for Melton. And I think like Brett Bobridge is probably an honorary Melton member himself. He gets out and plays Melton quite a lot.
Definitely.
And so the bottom four reads Aaron Picanti-Beans, Penn Lou, Ash B, and Brett Bobridge. That's the bottom four in the handicap. Does not read well for Melton.
Not ideal.
No.
Not ideal at all. But in their defense, there is some pretty hefty handicaps in the people ahead of them. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like Tim Stevenson with a neg six, getting nowhere near the handicap leader. It's telling you a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, that was the only Melbourne social day this weekend, but there was one out at Xavier. So even less people turned out of that, but we want to check it out to see how the course was playing. Only six showed up, and for a while, it looked like Georgia Carroll was just running away with it. But a rough stretch of holes, a rough five holes on the back nine sort of put her away. But the better half, Lewis, took it down. Lewis Penhole with a plus six.
Yeah. A tough going out at Xavier on the weekend, apparently. You know, they play the nine twice. So quick maths, only four holes gave up any birdies across the nine with holes seven and eight being two of which that gave up none, hole one and must be three. Yeah, hole one and three also given up none.
And four.
Yeah, tough going. And four, there you go, and that's the fifth one. So, yeah, tough going out at Xavier, plus six best score, oofed, with only, the three birdies and a lot of tough scores, but you got to look at six and seven. It's par four into the two par fours back to back. They're so tough. And they averaged well and truly more than a stroke harder than the par. Tough, tough holes, those two.
Yeah, brutal. Yeah. There's four pars over those two holes. There was four pars for the day.
Yep.
Out of 12 rounds, so that's not great.
Nah, it's tough.
I haven't played it, so I don't know, but it looks pretty daunting. And what's hole nine like? It's given up birdies aplenty and a six.
Nine's it's a birdie. You got a birdie it. It's just like a short par four that you got to throw these hyzer off the tee. But there's this sick little river that's right in front of the green, and the basket is only 2 meters beyond the river. And so you can be in C1 and short of the river, or you can go OB in the river. So the six, I'm going to go ahead and assume the six is an OB in the river, and there may be a missed putt. The basket's kind of elevated. But yeah, it gave up birdies aplenty, which is a little bit surprising with that river, to be honest.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm definitely keen to get out there. Maybe I can make a sneaky trip from Invalley.
Ooh.
What do you think the distance from Invalley to there is?
45. Oh, no, just under an hour.
Okay. Yeah, I could maybe make that happen sometime. Yeah. When I'm camping there and I've got many hours to go till my tea time.
Exactly.
All right, speaking of Invalley, they had a league there as well. So on the Sunday, they had a league, and we were very intrigued with this one because having a look at it, there was a strong mix of propagators. So this, even though it only had 20-odd people there, would be a pretty good indicator of what ratings might work out to be, we think. And it seemed pretty true. We were talking about maybe 1.5-2 strokes easier than champs, and that's how the ratings have shaken it.
Exactly, yeah. So bang on. I've spoken to a couple of people about that rating prediction, and it's been a little bit of pushback. Luke Pote has obviously pushed back to both of us, saying, "Nah, it's playing harder." Asked Timmy today. Timmy agrees that he reckons it's playing a couple of strokes harder. However, he was salty at the ratings at league day, and he obviously was the 960 player on the day, but he kind of highlighted that leagues are tough because like 90% of the people that there were locals, and of those locals, a bunch of them had like near PBs. He was like, the ratings were light on at league the other night because a bunch of people played out of their skins.
I don't know. Yeah, he might just be having a look at the few people he knows. Like, there's some big scores out there from some of those lower divisions that sort of ring true to where I think it might end up being.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, I think even will be about 960. It's another one of those situations like we had in Ballarat where there'll be different days because there'll be a day where everyone plays gold, and then there'll be a day where just the pro players play gold, and it'll be interesting to see the difference there as well.
Yeah, true. But yeah, so you mentioned Tim Bohan, he had an even, so pretty it's a pretty standard looking MPO even. He's got the 4 birdies, 2 bogeys, and a double. That's how you get even if you're an MPO playing Invalley.
Yeah.
So no real surprises there. And then Ryan Michaud with a +4. He's definitely had some better practice rounds in that. But 18 was taking scalps. Whole 18 was taking scalps that day. But it was looking a bit ominous at the start. Like when we were watching, a few of the boys were under par. Sam Barnett was off to a flyer. And we were just thinking, oh no, this course apparently is just easy now and we're just shit. but luckily, Invalley just did what it does, and the bogeys came, and the scores started evening out. So, Sam Barnett ended up with a +8, which, that's right in. It's only better than one worse than what my PB was, and that only rates at 894. So it's going to be a tough one. It seems wrong in my head, like even though I know that's how the ratings shook out for nationals, and we think the course is playing like this, but it's tough for me. Like the course is just tough for me, so I have to play at my best disc golf basically just to end up where I'm at, and that doesn't sound right in my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there must just be other people out there that it doesn't play as tough for that. Like they can just mosey around and end up at rating or something like that. So, I don't know. Need to get out there and get some more rounds under the belt. Tim Ware with a pretty solid +5. is doing plenty.
Yeah, 18 got him as well, but yeah, that's a very good round.
Yeah, two birdies, hole 5. That's a great birdie, and then hole 14. So yeah, Lee Thompson doing a bit too. You expect it's a bit out of him, local. And then Don Carter struggled. So been up and about lately, but with an 11 on hole 6, it's hard. It's hard to really bounce back from that.
It really is. He should really try birdieing it one time.
Yeah? Yeah, how does that go?
It was pretty bloody well.
Yeah. Is that what you did? I know you snuck out there for a round today.
I did. I just had to get one more invalid in before in the school holidays. Pretty up and down round. Started rough, bogey. But, yeah, I think it's for the first time in my life, birdied 6 from, like, with a 5-meter putt. Just did 3 outrageously good throws, and then you're at 5 meters. So, sweet. Take the birdie.
So, what happened? Backhand or forehand off
the tee? Backhand. Not out onto the fairway, but just
not out onto the fairway,
but close enough where you are. You just like you end up just start heading up the fairway anyway, because you only got one other tree yet to get past. So just that last tree on the right, I didn't get past that. So on my second, took a sidearm straight past that tree, and yeah, pretty decent sidearm up the fairway, and then. Like, just kept reminding myself, and take note, anyone that doesn't live in Victoria, that the sucker's gap is to kind of hug that corner on your third, and just reminding myself all the whole drive down there, I was like, right, when I get up to hole 6, throw my approach way wider than I want to. And that's what I did. Threw my third just like into a wider gap than I would normally throw for. It got a nice skip and landed at 5 meters and took the birdie.
Excellent. Love that. Yeah, it's definitely a sucker's gap, as you described it. It's like a chamfered corner, so it's not a hard edge. Yeah. So you see that corner and you think you got it. And yeah, now if you can't make that corner, you just go straight.
Yeah.
Just stay straight. Yeah. But yeah, if you can, if you do have the power, then go as far as you can. But yeah, that must have been one hell of a sidearm you threw for your second. So. Very nice. Yeah, well done. That's an excellent
sidearm, but. Like, I was throwing a destroyer on my third. Like, then it was still a very long third, but I just started it out wider and got a good skip into C1.
Beautiful. Love to see it. What was the final score?
+2. I was plus two after 2 and then finished +2 after 18, so I'll take it.
Yeah, I think the way this is going to shake out is that the top scores... So I think last time at Champs, like Dylan just destroyed it and there was no one really close from memory. I think there's probably still going to be, probably a 2 or 3 guys that are at around or above that hectic score that Dylan put up. And then I think there's going to be a fair drop off and a lot of people are going to end the tournament in maybe like 4 to 5 down. And then it's just going to be really backlogged from there, I think. This is the MPO for So I think there's going to be a pretty hefty gap. And then it's going to be pretty well backlogged. There's going to be a lot of people that are 1, 2, even +1, +2, like finishing the event. +2 is going to be thereabouts because you probably end up with one of them and, you know, an even and a neg one or something. And then. Yeah, +1 overall.
I'll take +1 overall. I would be thrilled with +1 overall.
Yeah. I believe in you, mate. I think you can do it. You got out for another one, didn't you? You were out on Friday as well, right?
With Daz, yeah. And I did not play as well. A +5 and a +6. and like nothing, just my sidearm left me. Again, it was back again today. There's just a few holes where I want to throw sidearm, and I was trying to throw sidearm with Daz on Friday, and they were just coming out fucking sideways. And so up and down easy pars, sometimes birdie looks, were just absolute bogey town, double bogey town, because the sidearms were going all over the shop.
Wild. But Dazza was pretty hot, didn't he? He got a couple of neg fours.
Back to back neg fours. Just again making it to C2 and C1 all the time. I messaged the boys. He was on our first lap, he was -2 through 9, which is just great anyway, that front nine. And he'd missed four C1 putts, and was already -2 with 4 C1 misses.
Amazing. Yeah.
He just gets to every green. Like MP40 crew.
That's crazy.
Look out.
Watch out.
Look out at Vic Open. He's coming.
Well, I managed to sneak out on Saturday. I went out with Chris Scott and Aaron Picardi Beans, and we met up with Matt Hill there. And there was some pretty good disc golf played by our crew. Chris Scott was off to a flyer. Hasn't played Invalid Gold since Nationals. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And at one stage, he was -4.
Gross.
So he was -4 through 16 holes. With a bogey on hole 3. So he birdied 4 and 5 back to back, took 8, got 11 and then 14, and parred all the rest, except, yeah, that bogey on 3, and then got done in on 17, 18, just bogey, bogey, as you do for a -2. So I was like, shit, I'm screwed here. Like, I got no chance. Matt Hill ended up with a +1, big number on hole 5, sort of stuffed him up. And I ended up on a +5, which if you had told me at the start of the day, I would have been pretty happy with it, because +7 was my PB before that. But, however, I went bogey hole 1, annoying, but whatever.
Yep.
Tap in hole 2.
Delicious.
To get me back. So I was like, okay. And then what must be that 7, 8, but 8 pars in a row. And then a birdie on 11, and all of a sudden I'm one under through 11, and I was just like, well, here we go, sorted. And then bogey, bogey, par, bogey, 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 bogey.
Yes.
I got 6 bogeys through the last 7 holes to finish with a round that was 2 strokes better than I'd ever done. It's like, it was the most infuriating PB of all time. I was so annoyed. But yeah, just, what was it? 12 was just silly. 13, I just didn't concentrate and doinked an easy, easy putt. 15 just sort of happened. Yeah, and all the rest just sort of happened. Silly footing on 15, and then 16, 17, 18. If I go +3 through them, that's actually pretty good for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, very, very, very frustrating. But yeah, good signs. Like I said, I was one down. I was thinking, here we go. And we had another lap. And Aaron, what did Aaron end up at? He played all right. Yeah, he was a +8, so very good score for him too. And our second lap, we lost Matt Hill. But I started with, both Chris Scott and I started with a double bogey on hole 1. And I was like, cool, just wasted this round already.
Yeah.
But once again, I found myself with 10 pars in a row to be feeling pretty good. And a birdogey on 11, which is pretty frustrating. And then a bunch more pars, and then bogey, double bogey to finish. So ended up with a +6, still better than my previous best. But I don't know, it's so... Invalid's just there telling me I can par all the holes and get a cheeky birdie here or there. But then it's also telling me, but you will definitely double bogey or some shit in between.
Yeah.
So I like... These rounds are sort of giving me hope and at the same time taking my hope away. So I don't really know how to feel about it, but hopefully I could try to get out again and try to get something close to even.
Yeah.
And Chris Scott ended up getting by 4 birdies on the back 9 with 5 bogeys. So he was no pars on the back 9.
Crazy.
Bit of feast or famine to finish on a +7.
Yeah.
Oh, funny. But yeah, I don't know. It's the more I play, the more I find it to be manageable. But at the same time, I can't not hit trees. So, no, I don't know. Don't really know where to go from there. I'll believe that I can get an even the day I get the even, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
but we need to get something good going because we've got our podcast battle in 2 weeks' time.
We do. 20th, is it?
So, the 20th, yep. Daz is locked in now. He's moved some stuff around in the family life, which is helping us out, which is great because he's the only one getting birdies. but yeah, you, me, and Dazza versus Timmy, Patty, and Ferg. Yep. We were hoping to get the tee off crew to not the tee off crew, the Park Media crew to film it, but unfortunately, they just got too much on, so we're on our own. We'll do a U Disc live and put it out. Hopefully, we can put a link out on our Insta or something like that.
Good call.
Anyone who feels like they want to follow along.
Yep.
But yeah, it'll be, unfortunately, no video evidence of us dominating the tee off.
Surely something needs to be done about that. I understand Park Media are busy. It's funny. I just got this itching feeling that it was actually like their idea, this whole thing. But they're keen for it to happen, just not keen to be there. But surely amongst our listeners, there's someone out there with a dodgy camcorder that wants to tag along. And obviously no payments will be given or forthcoming.
Give you a lift.
A lift. Reach out. If you want to come capture it, reach out. If you want to come watch and heckle, all of that's welcome. At minimum, we'll definitely get the UDIS live. Out there for people. We're still going to go with the obviously best shot triples, but 6 drives each rules.
Is that what we're going with? Yeah, we got to sort that one out. I guess
I feel like that works. That's the best way to do it. Like, make it best shot. Like, there's so many holes where they're par fours, par fives, and to be honest, they're second shot par threes as well. So I think with best shots, surely we're going to go all right, but let's at least make it 6 drives each. We're teams of 3. It makes sense.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, we'll sort that out and we'll get the rules out to everyone. But yeah, it should be fun. Timmy B was talking about going Facebook Live. I was like, mate, I can barely even get the UDisc to work with the Invalid reception. We ain't going Facebook Live. Yep. all right, we've got some bit of controversy to talk about at the moment.
Oh, yes.
Which we're here for.
We are.
So, one's a bit not so much, but we got sent it in by a listener, so we want to run with it just to see what people's thoughts are. So, I'm not on this disc golf page, so I've only got whatever screenshot I was given, but the Chichester disc golf page has a post from what looks like... which one's that one? I can't remember which disc. Disconnection.
Correct.
It's like the first thing in the speech, so I should have been able to see that. But apparently it says, Disconnection were thrilled to capture all the action and joy at the Sunset Coast Disc Golf Club Chichester Pro 2024 event. It was a blast being the official photographer and we're stoked to share these memories with you. Sounds great. Now, let's talk about these awesome photos. They're like treasures in our vault, and we've put our heart and soul into snapping and editing them for you completely free of charge. Beautiful. But hey, remember, they're also our babies, protected by Australian copyright laws, okay? So please, no funny business like editing, cropping, or sneaky alterations for personal or financial gain, unless pre-approved from Disconnection is provided. Can I ask for you to please help us tag all the awesome people in these photos? Now, we're totally cool with you spreading the love on Facebook and Instagram. Feel free to share these gems on those approved platforms. But hey, don't forget to give us a shout out. A tag, a mention of one of our social media handles will do the trick. Let's keep the community spirit alive. Remember, any monkey business with our photos might lead us to bust out the legal moves. Totally happy for you to use our photos on other non-approved platforms to help the disc golf community, but gain approval from us first. Thanks a ton for being legends and respecting the hard work that goes into our photography. If you've got any questions about using our licensing or our photos, hit us up. So, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. It's like, is it a bit passive aggressive? Like, are they trying to say something without saying something? It's a bit backwards without coming forwards, if you ask me.
That's how it reads to me as well. So I'm not like, I don't know. I'm not necessarily against what they're saying, because I'm assuming this is like pretty normal kind of shit. I don't know. Like, you can put everything behind a paywall, or I guess you can put it out there and say it's copyrighted. Like, I don't really know too much about that space, but that seems like a normal kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah, we've seen it like a couple of times. We had obviously the Ruffy event. We had a photographer come out, and they just put everything behind a paywall. I don't know how many were sold, but the photos were simply behind a paywall. But I've also definitely dealt with, like, I want to say Kinga, where he's been at maybe the Nationals when they were up at at Crater, and he took a bunch of photos, and he put out a similar post saying, cool, feel free to grab any photos of you if you wish. Just like, make sure you mention me, or if you can't mention me, just ask. And funny story, my actual PDGA photo is a Kinga photo, and I remember seeking his permission to do that.
There you go. I'm not sure. Like, so it got sent in, so there was obviously, taken some sort of way. I would love to have seen all the comments and stuff, but I tried going on the page. You have to join it. I don't really care about finding out what's going on at the Chichester Club on a daily basis. True. So I didn't bother trying to join. I'm not sure how all they feel. But yeah, it did seem like worded in a way that that maybe stuff was happening without people's permission before, and they want to make sure it's not going to. So I don't know. I guess it's cool that they're putting their work out and doing it for everyone. And I guess they want to keep their intellectual property theirs while still, letting people share their photos. Weird. Disc golf and money, it doesn't really mix very well. When we're at this intermediary level where it's like there's such small amount of money, but it's still more than no money. And yeah, very odd.
It is.
And that kind of leads us into our main story this evening.
It gets the people going.
So you, being an NPO player, received an email, I believe, about the payouts for the Vic Open.
Oh, I certainly did, yes.
Yeah, because I did not get
it. Presumably this just goes out to pro players. It's got a nice, useful link. Please enter your payment details here now. So that's nice. I'm just going to jump on there and put in my payment details, because I'll definitely be making cash at Vic Open. but yeah, they're light on. First place. I can't, like, my only question is, like, maybe this is USD, but it ain't. It's going to be AUD. First place takes home $590.
Yeah. So, which at a glance with other big tournaments definitely seems light on without doing any math. And someone did a little bit of quick math and found out that it's about 50% payout for what is the pro purse.
Correct.
For the whole field. And that seemed pretty light on. Not that we really knew how much, everything was getting paid out at each event, but just, from experience, it seemed like that wasn't standard across the board. So, I don't know. I did a little bit of research. I had a look at Nationals, because I know that was, a big money event. And it seemed that there was about, from my maths, it was sort of 80 to 90% payout. So I'm thinking that's more along the lines of what I would have expected. And we've had some stuff sent in for other tournaments? And what are the numbers you got for some of the other tournaments?
So I'll just read these out. So you've got SA Open comes in at around 80%. You've got WA Open comes in at about 100. Tassie Open, all right, we're getting into the good stuff now. Tassie Open coming in at about 140%. Obviously a really small field, but still 140%. Queensland Open, about 120%. I know Sizzler paid out at also about 120%. But the one that takes the cake by far is actually Mount Gambier. Mount Gambier paid out at Eruption at 160%.
Which is no surprise. Like, they really pride themselves in getting a big fat purse, and they advertise that as like a big selling factor to come to the Eruption. But that is a very, very generous amount there. And it just shows that 50% is not really falling in line with what the rest of Australia is doing.
No.
So technically they're doing nothing wrong. The PDGA dictates that B tiers, which is what this tournament is, has to pay out a minimum of 50% of the pro entry. And that's what they're doing across the board. MPO, MP40 and FPO, they're all getting just over 50% of their money back. Paying out 25 to 28% of each field. Definitely it's just a stark contrast to the rest of the Australian landscape. And it'd be interesting to see why and how that's going. How that's come about. So, like, I know some people have heavy focus towards the MPO and they think that's the way to grow the game. And that's why you get the injection of funds. And some people just have the thought that, each player is as responsible for the benefits of the tournament as any other player. And that's probably how you would end up with that 80 to 90% value. But I'm interested to see where the 50% value comes from, because that would to me mean that if you're keeping them on the same level as the AMs, then the AMs are also only getting about 50% back in terms of, what their input is as well. Because there are tournament costs going into getting, stickers and banners and upgrading tee pads and whatever, markers and all kinds of stuff. So if the MPOs are sharing the cost of that, if it is a genuine share, then you think that 50% of the AM purse goes to that as well. And that just seems like an outrageous amount of money to go to generic costs.
Yep.
I would think.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, they are on a golf club. Like, they are on a privately owned course. So there is potential that Invalidas has decided that the club has decided that they need a bunch of money out of it. I don't know. We don't know. We don't have the budgets. But it is very peculiar. Very peculiar, I should say.
I think it is very peculiar. I think it's also very peculiar that we can talk about this 2 weeks out from the event itself. I just not sitting quite right with me either. Is it not right about now that you're doing your final drive to get all your sponsorships, doing a bit of door knocking for whole sponsorships, maybe coming out with some, other little cheeky sponsorship ideas and just trying to, drum up as much cash as possible in this final stretch. Because, or were they already just so successful in getting all of their sponsorship deals sorted that they have no more room for more sponsors and that's it? Like, there was just no more scope to make more cash. And the golf club wants a bunch. Obviously, ADG for a major, they take $8 a day. So I know $24 is going to that, but that's curious as well. But I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But it's if you're an MPO player and you're coming from interstate, you're making a loss. You're making a loss on this event. Doesn't matter even if you win. If you win, you are making a loss on this event.
Yeah, definitely. In terms of the budget thing, like, I would, if I was running an event this big, I would hope my budget was sorted 2 weeks out for sure. So I'm not surprised at that. Like I think that's good. It seems like they've got a good budget. They've sorted it out. I don't mean like healthy or whatever. It just means like structured budget. They've sorted it out, and now 2 weeks out, they know what the payouts are going to be. I've got no problem with that on my end there. There's only so much, like, they're not going to find another $1,000 or $2,000 or something in the next couple of weeks. Like, that money's just not coming from, you know, nowhere. I wouldn't be too worried about that. But, I don't know exactly. I don't know how, what's been done in terms of sponsorship either with holes or any of that stuff. So we have no idea what the actual budget is and what the expenses are, but it is just odd that it's so different to what the rest of the country is doing. But as I said, it's not, you know, if that's the PDGA guidelines, and if that's how they want to do it, then they have the prerogative to. But is this something that might, like, hurt the Vic Open in the future? So it's long been, it's nowhere near what Eruption is now, but for a long time, it was sort of the premier tournament for out-of-staters to travel to outside of nationals. It was always the biggest attended event, pretty much.
Yeah.
Mount Gambier has well and truly taken over that mantle. And I'm sure it's mostly due to the stellar course and the amazing tournaments that they put on. But it has potential that extra cash is a factor of what draws people in. Like, I know I don't give a shit as an MA1 player. I did a bit of math before. There was 30% of the field at the Vic Open is pro players.
Yeah.
So, but I guarantee 95% of the complaints will be from pro players.
Yeah, and I also would say that I'll go further to say that that would be the biggest pro turnout at any Vic Open, percentage-wise, in the history of Vic Opens.
Probably, and, yeah. Without doing the numbers, I can't imagine it would be more than that.
Like, because the NPO field itself, it's 30 players. Like, that's just unheard of. And big MP40. There's like 7 or so FPO as well. So it's,
yeah, which is
a huge
massive
pro turnout. But I think it will. Like, it will go to hurt the Vic Open. So just chalk it up. 2024, biggest ever pro turnout to Vic Open. It won't happen again in the near future unless this is reconsidered pretty for future events. Because you just won't get into state, is it? Like, they're not, pro players aren't in the business of spending money and then not at least having the chance to win that money back.
Yeah. No, I could see that. But the thing with this, though, is this time of year, with daylight savings ending, and this is when it always is, 160, unless they go to two courses, is probably going to be the cap for the foreseeable future. So it's 30% of pro players this year. Next year, if it's 20%, doesn't mean they're not going to hit 160 people, though.
No.
It might. Like, this is where we have to sort of figure out what the best way to grow the game is, I guess. I don't know. It's weird. Like, it could definitely hurt the reputation, but I'm sure it won't hurt overall attendance. But yeah, there's some really great players coming out to this from all over the country. And next year they might not be.
Two courses.
2 years in a row.
Next year's Vic Open.
What, you know this or you think this?
No, I want this. Ballarat, baby.
You want this? Yeah. Yeah, that would be dope. If they next year's Vic Open Ballarat with the two courses could be elite. Yeah. And then, yeah, that's when we could start seeing some issues arise if they're trying to fill up two courses. But, definitely one to watch. And we put a post on – you put a post up on our social.
I did.
Asking people's thoughts on whether the bag was empty or full. And what were the responses we got from socials?
Yeah, pretty convincing in the end. As far as going through as a not light, I'm just bringing up the actual results now. End up with like 42 voters. Only one pro player out of those 42 put it past the halfway mark. And then we had
put a par. I didn't see any pros that put it not on zero.
Yeah, so
besides that one.
So exactly. And then all other pros put it on zero. We got a couple of messages from some pros, notably some interstate pros saying, I wish I could scroll that bar a bit lower.
Yeah, interesting.
We're media. We call ourselves media. We're giving feedback, but I think feedback will be going through some proper channels as well. Like I said, 95% of people, and like I'm sure people just like will complain and talk about it behind closed doors as well. But I think some people might reach out a bit more formally as well, just saying, please explain.
Yeah, and I can imagine that it'll get donuts.
Yep.
Like I said, it's allowed. The ADG don't give a shit. Like, there's no, you can message ADG all day and long, and I can't imagine they have any care whatsoever.
No.
Unless they have a specific directive to grow the NPO field. Like, if that's part of their mission, instead of just growing disc golf in, as a whole, then they might have something to say about it. But if it's just growing disc golf, then they don't care that the NPOs aren't getting as much money as they could, as long as there's a good event and they're getting their $1 million a day. So I think that'll fall on deaf ears, but yeah, I definitely think there'll be a lot of complaints from the minority of people that are playing.
Yeah.
And one thing I will point out is that, if you feel particularly hard done by, come back to MA1. There's only like 8 people in Australia that are rated too high. It's only a B tier. Come back to MA1. It's nice. It's nice here.
Just look.
Get a players pack.
Just did a little 24 times 160 to see what ADG take on Vic Open. ADG take 3,840.
Ooh. So yeah, now
I wonder how much.
I can't imagine they're gonna be too mad.
I wonder how much insurance cost.
Yeah. All right, we better move on before we get ourselves into too much trouble.
All right.
might be too late, but we touched on the Gambia crew. They've got a tournament coming up. The Crater Lakes Classic is on this weekend, and we don't normally care too much about little two round events, but we have a few of our Victorians heading over, and we love the Gambia crew, so we'll give that a bit of a shout out. Who you liking in the MPOs?
Reinhardt.
Yeah.
Ooh. There's so many good players there, but I'm liking Reinhardt.
Yep. Nice. I like it. Yeah, the kid plays well there. He had a fourth place, I think, at the Eruption last year. Or no, third. I think he ended up tied for third after Aussie D did Aussie D stuff when he knew he couldn't win. so, yeah, I don't mind that. Bainey's there, though, and he's looking to get a win. He's had a couple not wins in a row, which is unheard of for him. So I think I'm going to find it hard to look past
Smart.
Bainey.
Garrett's also there. And obviously Timmy B. Yeah, I don't know.
He'd want to win. In this field, he'd want to win.
Yeah, he's got him gapped, doesn't he?
Let's just say that. Yeah. But yeah, that is the bit of the coward's pick. He's taking the 1,000-rated guy. But yeah, Garrett's been up and about, like you said. Reinhardt plays well there. There could be some upsets, but I'm going to have to pick Bain, I think. And how can anyone go past Dazza in the MP40? Up and about.
Yeah, he'll take that down pretty comfortably, which will be good to see. MA1 field looking real freaking fire at the top.
Yeah, there was I was originally signed up for this only because I was drunk talking to who was it, Ryan, at the SA Open, and how I might come. And he's like, oh, well, there's only a couple of spots left. So I signed up and promptly pulled out because I can't be bothered. And I was also pretty scared. I'm not going to lie. There's only five people in the field. All five of them are higher rated than me. All five of them typically pants me. So I was a bit worried.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to have to go with the local, Hayden McPherson. He had a ripper eruption for a bit and then had a bit of a rough patch and then come good again. So I think it's his.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so do I. But I reckon Ethan Lewis close second.
Yeah, he's been playing great, yeah. Ethan. So, nah, cool. Very cool feel to see that one. We got any MA40s? No, we don't have any of our people in that. lot of locals and stuff in MA40, FA40, MA50. There's no Jeff, but Doug Adams is popping over. Terry Burhan's popping over. Brett Bobridge. The old boys like to represent. Paul Barbagello, Hank Terpstra, all heading over. So that's going to be a bit of a spicy one. I reckon Doug will take it down. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. He listens and he hates to hear that. So, no, Doug won't
Doug
win.
Doug will come last.
Doug will come last, so it'll definitely be Hank Terpstra.
I'm going to go with Robert Makuto.
Yeah, excellent. Just because he's got
no rating, no PDJ. Well, it could be.
And we got our boys.
Mate?
Yeah.
Could that be Sorry. My mate?
Who's your mate?
Oh, no.
Don't know.
Could be.
Yeah. A little inside joke there. Don't ask. MA2 is where it's at, though. We've got Penn versus Aaron, and who cares about the rest, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much.
Nah, Andrew Young Jackaway is going to murder them both. I'm sorry, boys, but he's going to kill you. He's going to beat you so easily.
Okay.
But I hope not.
I think Penn gets his first significant W this weekend.
Ooh, okay. I like it. More locals. What about MA3? Yeah, we've got plenty. Mitch Evers is heading over. Duncan McIntosh, Ash Wiedner, yeah. Matt Hunter, Alex Ritchie. Yeah, man, tons of them. Lee Joy, bang. The whole field pretty much is
Seth
us.
Seth Gutierrez. So, yeah, Vic Crew represent.
Yeah. Bang. Who's getting that one done?
Well, we do love the hyphenated name. So Young Jackaway's another chance in this division. But Matt Hunter.
Ooh, I'm going Duncan. I've got Duncan getting
okay.
this one.
Okay, yep.
MA4, not too many of our people there. That could be anything. Throw a dart at
oh,
that
you
one.
Got Chu
Tran. Oh, Chu yeah, Tran. Yeah. So, he'll win.
Yeah, done.
And then all the rest is them. So, not interested to see how that goes. They're doing it pretty cool. Like, they're doing a late start on Saturday and an early start on Sunday. So encouraging Victorians to just head up in the morning and get a stretch, have a round, go to their players' dinner, next day have another round, head home. So pretty cool. Don't have to take any time off work. Only one night's accommodation. Like that. But yeah, too much driving for mine. And too much chance of coming last. All right, let's round this one out with some spotlight, not light.
All right, beautiful. Hey. Sounds good. I go for it.
Yeah, go for it. I've got a little honorary spotlight. Dylan Feldman got married on last weekend, I think, to the lovely
beautiful.
Ellie. So well done there, Dill. And I think the actual spotlight goes out to this wild tournament that I've just seen. So the 6th annual Persimmon Ridge Retreat presented by MVP Disc Sports. It came up on my feed because Jeremy Colling was getting a pump up for winning
yes.
it. And ATR, it's his first ATR win in a million years. Ahead of Drew Gibson, Raven Newsom, Nicholas Antala, Luke Sampson, Andrew Presnell, Andrew Marweed, Vano Makala, a bunch. Yes. Not all the big names. Like, he hasn't beaten, you know, there's no Calvin, there's no AB and Gannon. But Kev Jones is in there, and Chandler Kramer, a lot of the names that you know. So, great win. And he won a katana. The trophy is a full-on samurai sword.
Sick.
Which is cool as shit.
Sick.
So, I thought that was really cool. The fact that Jeremy won was really cool. Tatar won over On. So, she also got a katana, which is dope. And then I started having a look. Because it's not a Pro Tour event, they've got MP40s, MP50s, MP60s, MA1s, the whole shebang. And just having... This is what made this tournament wild. So, the MP40 winner, there was 8 people in it, and 4 people cashed, which is already crazy. But the winner got $608. And he shot a plus 13. Now, if you were to scroll on the MPO and figure out how you would need to make $608. To make $608 in the MPO field of 64, where they paid out 25, you would have had to come equal 6th. They got 546. And they shot a negative 12. So they got $546. Andrew Presnell and Andrew Marweed got $546 for shooting neg 12. And William Harrison got $608 for shooting plus 13. And I'm like, all right, that's wild. But I scroll a little bit further. So that's the MP40 field. The MP50 field, the winner shot a neg 13. And won $575. And the MP60 field, the winner shot neg 10 and got himself
$600.
Nah, well, the MP60 player is 983 rated, okay. The winner. And the MP50 winner was 987 rated. And the MP40 winner was only 959 rated. So, I mean, those are still massive disparities. So there could be some shenanigans in it. But the rest of the field did pretty trash. It was just really only the top guys.
There you go.
So I don't know. I just thought that was a wild little tournament in Greenbrier, Arkansas.
I've watched a little bit of the coverage that's out.
It's on YouTube. Track. Yeah. So that gets my spotlight.
Good work. All right. I also had some honorables and some actuals. I'm going to flip them around. So I'm going to give my honorable now to Daz because we spoke about it at length with his -4 and his 4C1 misses. That can now be my honorable. And my actual spotlight, I'm backdating to the 16th of March. My actual spotlight goes to Reinhardt, who took out the Invalid Club champs on the 16th of March in a playoff against Ryan Michel. In one day of disc golf, he aced hole 4 gold, which is awesome. And then in round 2, got an albatross on hole 6 white, which is just...
Holy shit.
Which is just outrageous. So hole 6 white, hole in 2, and earlier that day, aces bloody hole 4 gold. And ends up taking out the Invalid Club champs. I don't think we gave this enough attention on the podcast. We may have given it none. And Tim kind of just reminded me of it today as I was knocking in my birdie on 6, just to put that in there again, that he albatrossed it from the white, which is just gross. So gross. That's on so many levels. Up.
Yeah. Crazy. Very good. Very good spotlight.
Thank you.
my not light has to go. This guy, he's received not lights before, and he doesn't seem to get the message. He was on a flyer on the weekend and just choked on as hard of a dick as you can ever choke on. I speak none other than myself, piece of shit, Alan Brunsting. -1 through 11 on Invalid Gold, on like the most manageable stretch of the course, and then you get 6 bogeys in the next 7 holes. Like, what a piece of shit. Just get a few pars and shoot even or something. Like, come on. Come on. It just, yeah, I get the not light because I am shit. Piece of shit.
All right. I like it. All right. So I'm going to flip. I had an honorable and an actual. I'm going to flip them around again. My actual was going to be the Vic Open payouts, but I'll make that my honorable. And my actual, I'm going to try to read this out without giving out who it goes to. Because, yeah, I've also got a piece of shit that I need to give a not light to. So
excellent.
This person, he rocks up to Invalid late like a rock star, because he is a rock star. And the person that's waiting for him decides to save the $2 and pay for 2 people. And then, obviously, they play the round, and this rock star gets to play for free. And he runs a podcast. And so it gets up to his turn to, like, did you have any spotlights? And this is a direct quote from this piece of shit. He goes, "I've got nothing written down." And so my not light this week goes to Alan Brunstein for not shouting out Picanti Beans, who paid for a disc golf round for him a couple of weeks ago. Alan, you copped double the not lights this week.
Yeah. That is bad. Sorry, Aaron. I completely forgot about that. And what makes it even worse is we played together again the following week.
You paid
and
for
I
him,
did
surely?
I completely forgot about it. Shit. So, oh, man. Double not lights for me. Sorry, Aaron. I'll get you next time. I'll caddy for you at the Vic Open.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, good not light. That's well deserved. I forgot about that. I'm just so used to people doing stuff for me, you know? We're just we're celebrities.
You're a rock star.
No. Oh, boy. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.